Hello, it's Wednesday, April 12th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Well, Lisa, I want to start off today by thanking everybody listening in, because on Monday we ran an article. It was called Rents and Alex Jones Caught Red-Handed. And in this article, we very clearly showed, with very much detail, how Alex Jones and Jeff Rents are censoring articles. And we started off this article asking people, do we as members of the truth community give a damn about anything anymore?
Right. And we do continue to welcome your feedback and comments on this issue. We feel it's very important and needs to be addressed. And the reason why they continue to get away with this kind of crap is because we don't all stand up and address this issue head on together. It's always Victor and I just standing up and facing it alone. The reason they get away with it is because we don't shove it right back in their face collectively as a community, as a group.
And by and large, almost every single response we got were people saying, you know what, we do care.
Right.
We're not going to allow this anymore. And people are even going so far as to start contacting Jeff Rents and saying, cancel my subscription, refund the money that's left in my account, and I'm not going to pay you any more money. And we couldn't be prouder of this type of action.
Yeah. Now, a couple of people so far have been in the I don't give a damn
right
column. One of them was Kurt Nimmo, who apparently doesn't give a damn. But
Actually, what he was saying was that, okay, these guys are censoring material, and that's bad enough. But he says, what about all us who are getting our lives threatened and blah, blah, blah?
No, he didn't say all of us. Yeah. He's talking about him and his wife. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the way we look at it is this. If somebody wants to kill you, they're not going to threaten you over a long period of time that they're going to kill you. They're going to just kill you.
Yeah, we've explained this now at least half a dozen times on this show and in our writings, but we're going to explain it again. Do you think these bloodthirsty killers that are part of the New World Order, do you think they're going to go around calling people for 10 years? Are they going to post something in the town square that says, I'm going to kill X, Y, or Z?
Now, we're not saying that Nimmo and his wife aren't being maybe harassed by people who are trying to intimidate them and making threats against them, but people aren't going to continually threaten you over and over and over for years on end or months and months on end and not do anything about it and be serious.
Right. Dorothy,
if they want to kill you, they're going to kill you.
Yeah, Dorothy Kilgallen received information from Jack Ruby right before he died. Suddenly, Dorothy Kilgallen was dead, and the notebooks that she had this material in were coincidentally missing. Look at the guy who wrote The Octopus, Danny Casolaro. He was ready to blow the whole thing wide open about all of these different dealings with the Promise software, Edwin Meese, and so forth. Well, what happened was that they found Danny Casolaro dead in a hotel in West Virginia, I believe, and the slash marks in his wrists were so deep that they went to the bone in both of his wrists.
Look.
Now, is that a suicide? No. And do you think they kept calling Danny Casolaro and said, you know what, next month we're going to kill you, and then a year from then they're going to say, hey, Danny, we're going to kill you next month? No. If they want someone dead that's enough of a threat to them, they kill them.
And what's egging them on is Nimmo's public responses to their harassment, showing them he's afraid,
right,
showing them his wife is afraid, and making his comments that let them know they're getting to him. Why give them that satisfaction?
Right.
Ignore them.
And that's what we touched upon yesterday in the article.
Or call the cops if it becomes such an issue.
Yeah. Well, the article yesterday was called Big Brother and the Fear Junkies. And it seems like there's a certain percentage of the populace that thrives off of fear. Not only the people delivering the fear in the government, the mainstream media, and, of course, the alternative media, but there's also people, everyday people, that thrive on it. They need fear. They want that element that's going to send them scurrying underneath their beds or where they have to triple lock the doors. And we conclude in that article is, what way are you going to choose to live your life? crippled by fear or by standing up, being free, being strong, and being unafraid.
Well, we know which category we fall into.
Yeah, exactly. And we've said it many times, we're not afraid of the New World Order. We're not afraid of Alex Jones. We're not afraid of right. anybody. And we had a nice compliment yesterday from Tex Mars.
Yeah.
Who basically said, like, despite the odds and despite whatever obstacle you guys face...
Or criticism.
Yeah. You continue in the face of this telling the truth. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, we don't really have a choice. We're not in that bend in the road where we can turn back. We can't unlearn what we already know. And there's too much at stake in this. This is for all the marbles.
Mm-hmm.
The stakes are too high to just throw down the flag and run for the hills. We just have no option.
Yeah, and there's an old saying that, you know, who we have to fear is those closest among us. So the government and the mainstream media are very far out of touch with most everyday people's lives. But we have an alternative media whose sites we go to every day, whose voices we hear on the radio every day. Those are the people closest to us. And if those people become the enemy, if they become the mirror image of who we're really fighting, the New World Order, the government, and so forth, well, who should we most react against? It's those closest to us that are betraying us.
The bottom line, and we've been saying this for a long time, we have to set a higher standard for ourselves and hold ourselves to it. And if we don't, then we're exactly the same as the mainstream media and the government, the entities which we despise for lying, for murdering, for betraying the country.
Yeah, and Tex brought out some good points yesterday. I mean, he's a fantastic guest every time he's on. And he was talking about these televangelists and how there's a clique of them, this little cabal.
And they cover for each other.
Yeah, and I started making a few notes when Tex was saying this, and one thing he said was they cover for each other's sins. So Jerry Falwell will cover for Pat Robertson, and the Crouches will cover for Benny Hinn, and on and on and on. These guys all cover for each other. Well, doesn't the same thing happen in the alternative media?
Yeah.
We call them company men, and that would be Jack Blood, who says he despises censorship. Yet, when he sees this firsthand right in front of his face from his buddy, Alex Jones and Jeff Rentz, will he speak out against it? He comes to a fork in the road, and he has to make a decision. Does he do what's right by speaking out against the censorship, or does he cover their sins like the televangelists by being a good little company man that they pat on the head?
Well, I guess we're going to see, because we've been contacting all of the prominent, well-known media personalities, people within the 9/11 community, authors, researchers, etc. And we've been asking them to weigh in on this issue. And so we plan on addressing this in an upcoming show and letting you see their comments. And I'll tell you, we're really proud of the comments that we've seen so
right.
far. People are stepping up to the plate and weighing in on this matter. It's very important
yeah.
that we do this.
Yeah, and this is, we're going to do this on Friday's show. We're going to have an article, plus we're going to discuss it on a radio show. Another thing Tex brought up was he said that these televangelists are bold in their sins. And what did you say about Benny Hinn? How he said he doesn't care about treasure in heaven?
He wants his treasure on earth right now.
Yeah, now that's a boldness. Likewise, what Alex Jones and Jeff Rentz did to that article written by what's his name?
Doug Herman
was bold because we laid it out, the original, the first censored version, the second censored version. This is bold in their actions. Tex also said they help each other succeed. It's like a nice little old boys network
right.
where one hand washes the other and mm-hmm. nobody speaks out against anybody else. And finally,
of course, they're above questioning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of
and
course.
And not held accountable.
Yeah. And finally, Tex was saying how these televangelists spit on Jesus. They spit on what's right. And if you take this over into the alternative media or the Patriot movement, they're spitting on freedom of speech without censorship. So what we're seeing here...
So how can you or anybody else call them patriots? They're spitting on the First Amendment.
Yeah. So what we see is these televangelists are exactly the same as these members of the alternative media. And after the show was off yesterday, we kept talking to Tex. And I said, you know what, Tex? If you look at the people, and when we were watching his DVD, we saw the people in the congregation. And Lisa and I were wondering, like, how can these people sit there and follow these obvious shysters? But as the show went on more and more, I told Lisa, I says, you know what? They use the same techniques as people like Alex Jones use. And so the people that are in these congregations for the televangelists, they're the ones that are called the religious right. They're the ones that support blindly George Bush and the neocons. And they're also the ones that are going to fall for the tricks of Alex Jones and these other fearmongers and censors.
Yeah. Well,
they all fall in the same category.
It's all that whole fire and brimstone, fearful truth tactic.
So if you're one of these people that bow with blind allegiance to Alex Jones, you're the same kind of person that would fall for the shtick of these televangelists.
And I'll tell you another thing, too. If you fall into the I don't give a damn about anything column, then we don't want anything to do with you
in any way
whatsoever.
Yeah, and I put a line in that article, and Lisa questioned whether it should remain in or not, but I said, yeah, this is going to stay in, because if you don't give a damn about censorship or any of these other issues we bring up, I said, why don't you just get out your razor blades and start slitting your wrists, because your life doesn't have any meaning to it. If there's no conviction about anything, why even be alive?
I don't know.
I mean, that's why I wanted that line in there, because if we're going to make any difference or have any impact on this world, you better start getting some very strong convictions.
If you can't even decide which side of the line you fall on an issue like this, how the hell are you going to fight the New World Order and beat that back?
Right, and censorship is so black and white, especially how we put it in this article, and it still remains on the Wing TV homepage, right in the center column. We put it in red there, Rents and Alex Jones caught red-handed. It's black and white. There is no gray area
here.
And
this isn't anything new they're doing.
Right.
This is stuff they've been doing for a long time. Other people have noticed it and written about it as well. And, it needs to stop. It's not going to stop unless a collective force pushes them back and makes them stop.
Right.
And it's just like expecting the government to stop.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to police itself. And it shouldn't just be Victor and my responsibility to address these issues. It's all of our responsibility. We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard, or we have no standard.
And that's why we're so proud of not only the people who are emailing Jones and Rents, but even more so, the people who subscribe and said, cancel my subscription. And that's the second thing we want to address today, is in the alternative media, there are pay-per-view sites,
mm-hmm.
pay-per-listen sites,
right.
where you can't go onto a site or you can't listen to certain material or watch certain material unless you pay for it. Now, we're not saying that people aren't supposed to make a living. We're not saying that if you have a book or a video that you can't sell it. What we're saying is that with GCN, you can't listen to their archives unless you pay for it.
Well, now, let's be clear about one thing, too, because occasionally we get some twit email us and tell us that we have something against people making money.
Yeah.
We don't have a problem with people making money.
We
have a problem with people exploiting public fear and paranoia to make money. We have a problem with people exploiting 9/11 to make money.
Well, we're capitalists in every sense of the word. We think the capitalist system works well. But when it comes to listening to archives, how can John Stadtmiller put his archives up for free
right.
on RBN, but then on GCN you have to pay for the archives? Then, if you want to listen to Jeff Rentz's archives, you have to pay another fee to listen to his. So you have to pay GCN for all the other hosts' fees, and then another extra added fee.
Well, Jeff
Rentz
has
Jeff
his own deal.
Yeah, so that's like a double whammy.
And I mean, we put our archives up for free.
Yeah, and we have, believe us, significantly less money than Ted Anderson, who's a millionaire, that's been proven, and Jeff Rentz, who's been doing this for a dozen years or so. They have scores more money than we do. If we can put ours up for free, why are they charging you? And that's what it boils down to in this dilemma is, why are you paying for internet news? Like even Mike Rupert's site, From the Wilderness, there are certain articles that you can't read unless you pay for it. Well, you know what? I look at Rupert's site, and first of all, every article on that site is 3, 4, 5, 6 days old. Nothing is new. Secondly, every article is linked to a mainstream source.
Mm-hmm.
And third, we're running articles on the Wing TV homepage for free that Rupert doesn't get to until 2 or 3 days later. Yet he makes people pay for these articles. They're old, they're mainstream, and it's old news. It's unbelievable. How many people are being sucked into this televangelist mentality? Because if you're paying these people for their news, you're the same kind of person that's going to pay Jim and Tammy Faye Baker for their amusement park in Georgia. And on and on. Do you have a televangelist mentality?
It's a cult-like mentality.
Yeah, that's an even better way, is that you're like bowing down to these people, and we can't get over the gullibleness, the naivety.
The gullibility factor is so high, we can't even believe it sometimes.
Yeah. If you would see our emails, if Lisa gets one, she'll send it to me and vice versa. And it's like some of these people are 14-year-old children that have such a rose-colored glass.
Well, what we've noticed, too, is that people do not listen very closely to what is said, and they don't read very closely what is written. And then they go and they try to react or respond to these things they see and hear, and they get it wrong because they didn't pay attention. They didn't read and listen closely. Yeah. And it's very important that we do that, because we see things twisted around and taken out of context and misconstrued only because people are not paying close attention.
Or we have the crowd that says, why can't we just have peace and understanding? Well, believe us, for the last 3 or 4 years, we've been trying to have cooperation and peace and so forth. It doesn't work with these people because they're put in place for a certain reason.
No, they want us to accept their wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
won't. We just can't. We're not going to. We don't accept that we have to put up with their BS and their wrong action, and we don't know why anybody has to put up with it.
Yeah. Well, how about, why don't we just say, let's have some peace and understanding and cooperation with the neocons and the war machine. We'll just all cooperate with each other, and we'll try to understand them and get along with them. How far is that going to get us? It's going to make them laugh their asses
off at
us.
Somebody wrote a piece about, we need a polite and kind revolution. And
good.
I almost choked when I read that. When is kindness going to defeat the whole New World Order? How is that going to solve the problem? Politeness?
Lisa,
a polite revolution?
Don't these people realize...
What planet are they on?
Don't they realize we're dealing with the worst evil ever known to mankind? Anyone that would destroy the World Trade Center towers, didn't you just say today another police officer died?
Yeah, I believe he died in January,
okay.
But they're reporting it now that it's positively linked to his exposure at Ground Zero to toxic chemicals and about a million tons of dust and debris.
Yeah,
he had a paper mask on. That was the only thing he had to protect himself. He was a police detective. 34 years old.
Unbelievable. So we need a kind and peaceful revolution with these people, these bloodthirsty monsters.
These murderers.
That killed 3,000 people on 9/11 and are continuing to kill hundreds of thousands.
And the question is, there's already been at least 24 deaths related to this exposure at Ground Zero, the respiratory ailments and whatnot that people have been afflicted with in the aftermath of 9/11. How many more people need to die before somebody else speaks out? We're talking to the firemen, the police officers, all the first responders who were there on 9/11 at Ground Zero. We need you to stand up and help us confront this evil. You need to speak out before the day comes that you cannot do so.
Yeah, when you're going to be the next one that's dead. But with the people, Lisa, that view all this, not only the government, but also the alternative medias, it seems as if they have no street smarts whatsoever. Like, there's no edge to it.
About?
Well, the people that say we need a kind and peaceful revolution.
No, they're in, like, an alternate universe. I don't even know where they're coming from, because politeness has never defeated evil, and it's not going to. Kindness is not going to defeat evil.
Yeah, it's right now to the point where we need confrontation. And I'm not saying get your guns and go out and start killing people. I'm saying it's time to stand up and look them dead in the eye and say you're not going to take it. And I don't know where a lot of people, what they've done in the years preceding this, but Lisa and I have had some pretty down and dirty experiences in our lives. We've been around the block many, many times, and what it's done is it's honed us to a fine edge where we're very jaded, we're very aware, we keep our eyes open, and we're not naive about the way people operate in the world. And to say, well, why don't you just cooperate with Alex Jones and be nice to him? We've tried it numerous times.
Right, why don't I lay down in the middle of the road and let a truck back up over me and over again?
Lisa, you are forgetting that if you lay down in the road, it is Alex's road. Get out of my road! You forgot that, didn't you?
No. How could I ever forget that?
Nobody should forget that this is my road! It's Alex's road. Nobody else is allowed on the road except for Alex. So, anyway, folks, that's some of the things we wanted to talk about. Also, we have to tell you about our little adventure last night.
A little misadventure.
We went down to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. That's the state capital. And there was a speech being given by Bill Schneblin. He was on our show once before. He was the subject of a 9-hour interview DVD called Interview with an Ex-Vampire. So we left about 3 hours early. It's only an hour and a half trip or so down there. And
we wanted to get some supper before we got there.
And so we stopped in a little town that had this buffet. It was fantastic. I mean, just you couldn't have found a better meal.
And everything was rolling along really well.
So we relaxed there, had a nice dinner, got a little bit of fudge afterwards that was incredible. And we're just driving. It's a beautiful day, 72 degrees out. Mm-hmm. No hurry whatsoever. And we had the MapQuest. Now, I've been to Harrisburg dozens of times in my life, know how to get there. But I printed out a thing for MapQuest to get to this Holiday Inn.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. Victor is very, very adept at finding his way to different places without a map.
Yeah, usually I don't even use a map.
He could find his way blindfolded in the dark. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. I, on the other hand, can't find my way out of a paper bag if there's more than one way out. So what happened last night was definitely the exception and not the rule.
Yeah, so we had this printout, and we were going to the Holiday Inn. And it said get off at exit 39B. So we got off at exit 39B.
But there was no getting off.
Right there is the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, we could have thrown a rock and it would have smashed through the window. That's how close it was.
So we go out and we're like, oh, cool, we're there. And we're meeting one of our buddies down there. So we're like going to be about, half an hour early.
Right.
It would have been cool. We were going to visit. But when we see the Holiday Inn, there's no exit from the turnpike. None whatsoever.
Right.
Zero.
So we pass by the Holiday Inn.
So we pass by it, and it says next exit 6 miles. So we're like, all right, well, we go up to that exit.
And meanwhile, there's no turnoff in between that 6 miles.
Yeah.
So we had to go an extra 6 miles, and then what happened?
Well, then we got off. We got off there, and we just backtracked down, okay? We came into the town. It's a little town called New Cumberland. And got in there and pulled over on the side, and there were some people in their yard, and we said, how do you get to the Holiday Inn? He said, well, just get on the freeway there, go down first exit, get off, and it's right there. So we're like, yeah, easy enough.
But
we go down, and it's the same exit as before.
We end up right back in the place we were at before.
So we get off this exit, and there's no way to get into the parking lot. None. So now it's like 2 minutes or 4 minutes until this speech is supposed to start.
And here we are. We're we're just like driving around in circles.
Yeah.
We can't get off the turnpike.
So what I do is the Holiday Inn's right there. So I just pull alongside the road. There's a cutout there. And I said, the hell is it? We're leaving the car here and we're just gonna go.
We had to walk along the turnpike.
Yeah, we walked down and there's a big barbed wire fence in front of the Holiday Inn. So I tell Lisa, come on, let's just crawl over the fence and go into the parking lot.
Now, twisting my ankle. I have, like, my boots on, I'm falling in holes, I'm not climbing the fence.
Yeah, so she has her boots and heels on, and she says, I'm not climbing the fence. So we walk along the fence, and it gets to the point where there's no hole in the fence. The whole Holiday Inn.
It's like a compound.
Yeah, it's like a prison. But finally, way around the edge, there's this little section where the fence is kind of pushed down. And there's a big hill.
So they were cutting through the brush.
Well, first we have to crawl over this fence that's pushed down. And then there's this big hill with brush and brambles and wires.
Branches stuck in my hair and my face.
And trees. And we're crawling up this hill. And I hear Lisa. She's like, ow, ow. And her boots are like falling into these holes. And finally I get up top there. And we're sweating now. We're pissed off.
He gets so mad he throws his water bottle down on the parking lot ground and smashes it open.
Smashes the water bottle in the parking lot. And then who do we see? Here's our buddy walking out of the Holiday Inn.
Cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, and he's smiling ear to ear. And here's
and
me
we're
and Lisa.
Fuming.
Yeah, we have like blood coming out of our ears.
We don't know if our car is going to be there or if it's going to be towed by the time it's over.
Yeah, the only thing I did was I stuck my hat in the window, my ball cap.
Yeah, that's going to keep them from towing.
Yeah, and so we get in there, and luckily the speech started 10 minutes late because it couldn't have been more than 10 or 15 seconds to when we walked through the door that they introduced Bill Schneblin and he started his speech. But then I'm sitting there, and we're taking some notes, and I'm seeing Lisa writing in her notebook to our buddy. And she's saying, they're going to tow our car away. So I'm just getting like filled with more and more paranoia. And so after the first break, me and my buddy go out. And he's like, where the hell did you park your car at? And I'm like, somewhere along the road here. I don't know where it is. And so we're trying to see if it even got towed. And we're walking around the Holiday Inn.
But they couldn't see out of the compound.
Yeah, we couldn't see out. And then I was like, wow, you see that water bottle? He's like, yeah. I said, where is the water bottle I smashed coming up here? You know, I just whipped it onto the ground. And luckily, we listened to the speech went for like 3 hours and 45 minutes or so. And our buddy then gave us a ride around. And we got to the car. And it was still there, luckily. But it was something, wasn't it?
It was something else.
Let's not
do that again.
Yeah. And, you know, what do they say about the best laid plans? You know, I mean, everything was going along smoothly until. But real quick, before we run out of time, we should comment on the speech and what we thought of it, Bill Schneblin. And
this is what I have to say. I was kind of disappointed. Well, no, I was very disappointed. While he did speak a lot of things that were truthful, talking about the Illuminati and, you know, the New World Order.
And religion.
When we started hearing things like, I've been to the moons of Saturn.
Yeah.
I've seen at least 100 UFOs. I've been abducted by aliens twice.
And what you said afterwards on the ride home was like he's a teller of tall tales. And don't get us wrong, we like Bill Schneblin. We like the people who did the documentary about him or the interview with him. But it goes back to that same point again.
The moons of Saturn.
Yeah, he was there while he was abducted. Whenever you go to a site, and Jeff Renz is a perfect example, when you see truth mixed with disinformation, what you ultimately get is disinformation.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to be so vigilant about.
And that's why I was so upset afterward. I was so agitated that we went through all that crap. Almost had our car towed, you know? And then we get to hear that this guy says, fallen angels want to rape women, so we should all the women should cover their heads.
Yeah, for protection. And on and on, and we can't do justice to everything he said. I mean,
it would take a whole show,
yeah,
believe
I mean,
me.
He gave a lot of excellent information, but what Bill Schneblin should do is cut out the sensationalism.
Cut out the crap.
Yeah, just like Greg Zemanski. Stick to good, solid journalism.
Right.
And don't put in all the other stuff about Barbara Olson being arrested and still alive and blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, if you don't have proof, don't put it out there. And,
I mean, he's talking, it's like he's lifted stuff right out of David Icke's website, right off his books.
Yeah.
Stuff about the draconian reptiles tunnels under the Mormon temple in Salt Lake.
We'll relate that story,
okay. He said that he saw the Draco reptilians in the tunnels underneath the Mormon temple at Salt Lake City, Utah. Mm-hmm. Now, supposedly only the elders are allowed in the temples.
The male elders.
Right, the males. They don't supposedly allow women. Mm-hmm. Yet, at the end of his presentation, he was questioned by a member of the audience who asked him, did you see these reptilians yourself? And so Schneblin says, well, no, my wife saw them. I was in another part of the temple.
But
which
initially,
caused us to give pause. Because he had said previously that only the male elders were allowed in the temple. So
and
what was
his
wife doing down there?
Yeah, and that he had seen the reptilians. But
then
he quit. No. His wife saw
And of course his wife wasn't there.
Right.
So no one could ask her. So I mean, it started to smell a little fishy.
And the other thing is, we watched all 9 hours of Schneblin's DVD. And he rips apart the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, the Mormons, the New World Order, the Freemasons, the Shriners, and on and on and on.
Except for the Jews.
9 hours and not one mention of the evil Talmud. The most evil religious tract ever written is the Talmud. Not one mention.
Right. At this point, we need to tell you how he was dressed. He had on his head a yarmulke. Now, he called it a kippur, a blessed covering, because he's a priest. And it's not a yarmulke is the Yiddish version of it. But it looked like a yarmulke to me, and it had on it the Jewish star. And, of course, he has this long beard, and he had on a black suit with a white, plain white button-down shirt. So, I don't know if you didn't know him. He looked like the way the Orthodox Jews dress that I've seen in New York.
And last night he spoke for 3 hours and 45 minutes, and again,
not one peep about Israel.
Nothing about Israel, the Zionists, Judaism, the Talmud, but everything else he rips to shreds.
Yeah.
And anybody, here's a good closing statement for everybody. When you listen to figures in the alternative media, if they very deliberately avoid Judaism, Israel, Zionism, the Talmud, be very, very wary of them. Because they'll spout on and on about the New World Order, the Illuminati, the globalists, all these vague notions.
The Vatican.
Yeah, but they won't get into the specifics of Israel. And if they do that, just like Bill Schneblin last night, you better get some red flags up because there's an agenda that they're pushing forward.
Yeah, ask them why they don't discuss these things. They're not above questioning and looking into, just like all the other aspects.
Right, and one last thing. Whoever calls into Alex Jones's show and asks him about the censorship, they're going to be our new hero for the day because somebody has to call in to his shows. And we don't do it because if we say it's Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani,
well, we just get hung up on.
We get hung up on, and we're not going to use fake names. So somebody out there, call into Alex's show.
And call into Renz's show, too. I'm sure, you know.
I don't think he has call-ins, actually.
Just well, if he does, or email him, however you people contact him, what do you do?
And call him on it. So
what we're going to do today is include in our photo gallery section, the end part of the show, we're going to include a call Alex Jones made into the Erskine Overnight Show at the time when we were on there with Erskine talking about 9/11 on trial. And you're going to hear Alex Jones himself praise this book and urge people to buy this book even. And then you're going to hear subsequently how he censored a caller on his show who tried to even talk to him about it.
And says he only talks about serious issues. But prior to that, during Erskine's show, well, what he also did, Lisa, though, the true motive was that he was plugging his my video.
He uses people's talk shows to plug himself.
Yeah, it's all just one long, non-ending infomercial with Mr.
Anyway,
Alex Jones.
You can hear it for yourself. It's Alex in his own voice, in his own words, and it raises the question, Why, Alex?
Yeah. Tomorrow we're going to have Bill Broombaugh, a man of courage and conviction, on the show. We're going to talk about current news like we do every month with Bill. So until then, thanks out there to everybody who's tuning in. Thank you for standing up, saying you do give a damn.
And do feel free to weigh in on this censorship issue. We want to hear what you have to say, and we welcome your opinions.
Right. Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See everybody then.
Let's go immediately to Mr. Alex Jones. Police State 911 is his new video, talking with Victor and Lisa. Welcome, Alex, my friend.
Well, Erskine, I was just driving back to my house. I was working on these new ArnoldExposed.com ads to run out in California against Lord Schwarzenegger, and I heard that you had Victor and Lisa on, and I've had a chance now to read a little bit of his new book. It's excellent. But what prompted me to call him is that guy saying, well, what do you mean, oxygen? Let's talk about these towers. My new film, Martial Law 9/11, Rise of the Police State, spends an hour on this. You have North and South Tower hit by jets, and then for the first 15 minutes or so, people do jump out because of the fires. Then they stand there for even longer in the holes because the fires were almost completely out. Now, if the fire doesn't even burn their skin, how's it going to melt 4 and 6 foot around giant steel girders sprayed with asbestos insulation?
And this is right at the impact point, which was supposedly would be the hottest point,
right,
if people are standing there.
Exactly. So they're all standing there in the holes, and then you have all the evidence of explosives. We never had a modern steel building collapse. We have the Madrid building burned for 2 days at over 1,000 degrees hotter than what the World Trade Towers did.
Right, Alex. Also, the aluminum casing on those structures did not melt, and that has a lower threshold for melting than steel.
No,
so if the
right.
aluminum didn't melt, why would the steel?
No, you're right. This inch-thick, nothing aluminum kept all its form, but giant steel columns melted, and then forget all that. Larry Silverstein says he blew up Building 7. Firefighters told the Associated Press, get back, we're going to pull it. I mean, we have these people admitting it, but still the population's in denial. How did some guys in a cave in Afghanistan have NORAD stand down? How did they warn Mayor Willie Brown not to fly, or the Joint Chiefs of Staff, or John Ashcroft, or Salman Rushdie? How did they tell the CIA to bet against American and United Airlines? The whole thing's a fraud. Get this new book they put out, and get my new film, get their new film. Get this material, get it out to people, and expose the terrorists. God bless.
Hey, thanks, Alex.
Thanks,
you've got to do that. You've got to expose them while you still can. The time is getting short. Thank you, Alex Jones. We'll be right back on Erskine Overnight.
Let's go next to... Let's talk to Steve in Ohio. Steve, go ahead.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
Real quick, I got two things I want to talk about are very important, but I did want to say one thing, that Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani of WingTV.net did a beautiful job of doing that 9/11 on trial. Are you familiar with that?
Thanks for the call, sir. Sounds like the individual himself. Seriously, my broadcast is about serious issues, sir. And so if you want to turn the show into that, I'm just not going to take your calls. We're going to come back. We've got a guest coming on to talk about a serious issue. And, folks, there's just so much coming up. But let's get all these callers out of the way that have been holding from time immemorial. Michael, where are you calling me from?
Arkansas.
Welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes, my Razorback.
I'd like to talk about...
Well, sir, we're not going to do that on my broadcast. I choose, in some cases, what I'll allow to be brought up on this broadcast, and I appreciate your call, sir. Take care. Good to hear from you.